Please open your Bible to Psalm 74. As I said a moment ago, this is a psalm of lament. And a word about that in a moment. First of all, this is a psalm attributed to Asaph. And I mentioned Asaph last week, that Asaph was King David's music director. And a significant number of the Psalms are attributed to Asaph. This Asaph in Psalm 74 cannot be the same Asaph who was David's music director. Because this Psalm 74 is set at the time of exile, 586 BC, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, the people being taken away to exile in Babylon. This all takes place hundreds of years after the life of that original Asaph. So this is either a different Asaph or perhaps the psalmist taking the pen name Asaph as a tribute to the earlier psalm writer. As I said, this is a psalm of lament. Out of 150 psalms in the Bible, 42 of them are psalms of lament, almost a third of the psalms. There are psalms of praise, there are psalms of thanksgiving, there are wisdom psalms, and 42 psalms of lament. The word lament comes from the Latin lamenta, which means to weep or wail. The Psalms of lament are psalms of grief, psalms of a broken heart. And I'm not really sure. Well, modern people, I think, really don't know what to do with the Psalms of Lament. I'm not comfortable with them myself, but we need them. They're in the Bible for a purpose. I said modern people aren't too sure what to do with lament. I saw an interesting graph just last night. I was looking up lament on Google with my iPad, and I found this really fascinating feature that Google now has, that they will show you the usage of a word in literature from the massive Google database of literature. And it goes back to 1800, and you can see the usage of the word lament in literature starting out way up high on the graph like this at 1800, and then at about 1850, the graph starts to fall like this down to about 1920, and it stays down like this. The word just disappeared from English literature. We don't know what to do with lament, but we need it. And I hope in hearing this psalm and in what I have to share about it, I hope that'll begin to make sense, that we need lament. So hear now the word of God, Psalm 74. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to read the whole thing. O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased from of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. Your foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their own signs for signs. They were like those who swing axes in a forest of trees, and all its carved wood they broke down with hatchets and hammers. They set your sanctuary on fire. They profaned the dwelling place of your name, bringing it down to the ground. They said to themselves, "We will utterly subdue them." They burned all the meeting places of God in the land. we do not see our signs. There is no longer a prophet, and there is none among us who knows how long. How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the fold of your garment and destroy them. Yet God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You split open springs and brooks. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You have established the heavenly lights and the sun. You have fixed all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God. Defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Do not forget the clamor of your foes, the uproar of those who rise against you, which goes up continually. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me now for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 74 is a psalm of lament. It is a cry of grief. It's a psalm of the exile. In 586 BC, the Babylonians besieged the city of Jerusalem. There was terrible suffering and starvation. Finally, the Babylonians breached the walls, sacked the city, killed many of the inhabitants. They destroyed the temple, burned the wooden parts of the temple, knocked down its walls. They took many of the Jews prisoner and hauled them off to Babylon in exile. Now, once again, this is a psalm of lament, of grief, of corporate mourning. And it also ultimately points us to the covenant-keeping God and the hope that we have in him. The Bible is God's story, and we know, particularly now this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we know that God will triumph in the end, and that's our ultimate hope. But biblical hope is never naive. Biblical hope is never a Pollyanna kind of everything is going to turn out fine, and if we just keep smiling, no. Biblical hope faces reality. It does not ignore pain. It does not ignore suffering. Biblical hope is willing to grieve with those who grieve and weep with those who weep. The Bible is unflinchingly realistic and honest about the suffering and pain and brokenness in our lives and in our world. And so in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, as I said, there are 42 Psalms of lament. And this is the prayer book of the Bible. This is the book where our Lord, our God, teaches us to pray. The Psalms were the prayer book of Jesus. And so the fact that 42 Psalms are Psalms of lament means that God wants us to learn to pray these prayers. Psalm 74 invites us to ask difficult questions. How do we respond to the violence in our cities, to suffering and senseless death? What do we say to those who suffer with COVID-19? Or even if we weren't dealing with this pandemic, what do we say to children who suffer with cancer or a loved one who's taken from us by Alzheimer's? Psalm 74 gives us a crucial part of the answer, or at least a way to take that grief to God. It tells us that if we are to be as honest and real and truthful as the Bible, we need to be people who know how to pray, lament. So once again, Psalm 74, the psalmist is grieving the destruction of the temple, the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, and the people taken away to exile. And the enemies of God's people, the Babylonians, were hostile and cruel. Verse 5 says, they invaded the temple, it says, like those who swing axes in a forest of trees. The temple was lined with beautiful cedar paneling, beautiful carved wood. It was all destroyed with hatchets and hammers. The walls pulled down and set ablaze. They defiled the holy place where the Spirit of God dwelt. But more is going on here than just an enemy destroying a city that was precious to God's people. The destruction happened, and the people of God knew, at least the psalmist knew, that the destruction of Jerusalem and of the temple happened not simply because of the anger of the Babylonians, but because of the anger of God. That God had withdrawn his protection from his people. For centuries, the prophets had been warning that if Israel, if the people of God did not repent, if they did not reject idolatry, if they did not repent of the rich mistreating the poor, that God's judgment would surely come. They did not repent, and now God has withdrawn his protection. And this is the hard truth that gives rise to Psalm 74. And the psalmist begins by laying bare his own heart. That's always a good way to start prayer. Verse 1 says, O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? And these aren't really so much a plea for an answer as it is a cry of pain. Suffering, and he asks why, and he asks how long. And suffering is always intensified by the thought that it's just going to keep going and going and going. We can handle a lot if we know there's an end in sight. But when we don't see that end, the suffering can become unbearable. Asaph comes back to this theme in verse 9 after he describes the destruction of the temple. And here we see it wasn't just that the temple was gone. It was that God had fallen silent. There was no prophet in the land. There was no prophetic voice. There was no one to say, thus says the Lord, and to speak into this situation the will of God. Listen to verse 9. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, and there is none among us who knows how long. Now let me point out two key lessons from this psalm. Two key lessons about praying a psalm of lament. First of all, biblical lament presupposes an absolutely clear-eyed view of the truth, an absolute commitment to reality. We will never lament as God calls us to lament if we can't see the situation in our lives and in our communities, our families, and in our nation, if we don't see those realities as they truly are. Psalm 74 is brutally honest. There's no sugarcoating of the truth. There's no positive spin to take the hard edges off reality. God's dwelling place has been defiled. His name has been reviled. His anger burns against his people. One of the great obstacles to a genuine prayer of lament is that we are very good at denial. As has been said, denial is not just a river in Egypt. It's something that we all practice because reality can be really, really painful. And so very often, even as Christians, we put on our Pollyanna face and we just decide we're going to see the rosy side of things. We would rather close our eyes and enjoy our own comfort even when we see fellow image bearers of God, our fellow human beings, even when we see real suffering and violence and lives damaged. When we see this in fellow image bearers of God, people we are called to love, we see their suffering. And we close our eyes. Ask God to deliver you from that by his Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you clear eyes to pray as the psalmist prays, to see the truth of the world, the truth in your own life, in your own family, your community, our nation. Now, we need to be really careful, and this is always true in the Bible. We need to be careful not to draw too direct a parallel between the situation of Psalm 74 and our situation today. It's not the same. We do see some violence in our streets today. But we, the United States of America, we are not the covenant people of God. We are not Israel. There's the people of God within the USA, the church of Jesus Christ. But even though it's not exactly the same situation, the principle of lament still holds. If we're to lament as God would have us, and there's a reason, lament isn't just wallowing. We're going to get to that. But there's a reason we're called to lament, and if we're going to be faithful in it, we cannot close our eyes to the causes and nature of the violence in our cities. We can't close our eyes to the poverty, both spiritual and material, of our neighbors. We can't close our eyes to the prejudice, and yes, the racism that's present in our communities and perhaps in our own hearts. If we don't take that seriously, if we don't take seriously the fact that those who suffer are fellow image bearers of God, and many who suffer are our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we don't see that and take it seriously, we will never be able to lament as God calls us to lament. That's the first lesson, a clear-eyed view of the world. And the psalmist models that for us. The second, this lament presupposes the engagement of a broken heart. It's not when he sees the suffering of his people. Asaph, it's not a detached, analytical observation. His heart is broken for his people. Jesus modeled this for us, brothers and sisters. Jesus knew how to lament. He wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he had entered in triumph to the shouts of Hosanna. But then when he looked out over the city, we're told that he wept over the city of Jerusalem. He didn't call down fire and judgment. He could have. He wept. We will never be able to lament as we ought to lament, as we're called to lament, if we assume the pose of the detached observer. So, with those two lessons in mind, a clear-eyed view and the engagement of a broken heart, with those two lessons in mind, how should we, as the people of God, bring our prayers of lament to him? So, there was two teachings. Now I want to recommend two practices to pray lament. First of all, don't be afraid to ask God raw, bold questions. Asaph in Psalm 74 asks, why is this happening? And how long? Now, you might be uncomfortable with edgy, angry, anguished questions directed to God. But godly prayers of lament, and I'm so thankful that the Psalms model this for us. It models a prayer of lament that trusts God enough to bring all of our emotions, all of our questions. God delights in that kind of faith, brothers and sisters. We see this throughout the Bible. God delights in honesty, not a veneer of piety. In fact, God rejects a veneer of artificial piety. God would much rather have our honesty. So, first of all, be willing to ask raw, bold questions. And second, this sounds a little odd, but it's modeled in this prayer, ask God to remember. And the appeal to God, remember, is repeated throughout this psalm. Now that may seem strange. How could God forget? But here, listen to verse 2 again. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased from of old. And purchased from of old, that's a reference to centuries before when God liberated his people out of slavery in Egypt. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the hill on which the temple sat. Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. And then verse 18. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. In other words, remember the enemies. It's you they're going after, God. Well, Asaph knows that God doesn't have a bad memory. Asaph knows that God doesn't need to be reminded of the suffering of his people. But always in the Bible, God's remembering is a prelude to God's action. Remembering and action go together. So when Asaph says, remember, O God, remember your people, remember your covenant, he's saying, God, act. God, intervene. Come with saving power. I mentioned a moment ago the Exodus, when God's people were slaves in Egypt. They were suffering because of their bondage, and they cried out to God. And the second chapter of Exodus says, God heard their groaning, And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Now that's in chapter 2 of the book of Exodus. And then in chapter 3, God acts. God remembers, God acts. And in chapter 3 of Exodus, God speaks to Moses out of a burning bush, said, "Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to lead my people out of captivity." So you see the connection. God's remembering, and it's not remembering the way we remember. It's not as if he forgot. But God remembering his covenant leads him to compassion and concern and saving action. So Psalm 74 is a bold prayer. It's a bold prayer for God to intervene with compassion and saving power. And it's made even more bold by the recitation of these reasons why God should remember his people. Asaph reminds God of his sovereign work in the past. Works of both creation and salvation. In verse 12, he says, "Yet God, my King, is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." He's placing his hope directly in God, even in his despair. He's anchoring his hope in the saving power of God. The point is that God is the Redeemer of Israel, the Lord of all creation, ruler of the nations. This is the God whom Asaph remembers. And Asaph calls upon God to remember. God, remember. Remember your people. Remember all that has happened to them. Remember their pain and suffering. Remember your covenant promises. O God, remember, have compassion, and act. And we, brothers and sisters, today pray prayers of lament for the anguish of our country. Let your heart be drawn into it. Don't be a detached observer. Let your heart be engaged, and then come to God with bold prayer, asking God to remember and intervene. And the prayer for God to remember merges into a prayer for action. You can see this pattern. It's repeated in the psalm. Look at verse 2. Remember the call of verse 2, remember your congregation, leads into the prayer of verse 3, direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. At the end of the psalm, the call of verse 18, remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs, leads to the cry of verse 23, arise, O God. Rise up. Defend your cause. This is bold prayer. He's almost laying a challenge before God. He's going right up to the edge of stepping a little too far, but you know what? God loves this kind of prayer, to boldly ask God to intervene in our lives, our community, our world. When we face tragedy and injustice in our homes, our community, our nation, our world, this Psalm 74 models for us godly lament. First of all, just to review, it leads us to a clear-eyed view of the truth. Take off the rose-colored glasses and look at the world as it is. Second, it calls us to heartfelt engagement. Let your heart be broken. This is an old phrase. You've heard it before. Let your heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. Pray with your heart. Third, bring your questions to God. Why? How long? And fourth, call on God to remember his promises. God, who made the world, is bound to this world by his promises. And we who stand on this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we know the mighty power of God to save. Human sin could not stop his saving love. Death could not hold him. So Psalm 74 makes us bold to call upon God, to remember and call on him to rise up and act. And you know what? That kind of bold prayer will prompt us to rise up and act as well. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, give us eyes to see this world as it is. By your Holy Spirit, lift the veil from our eyes and the deceptions that we use to protect ourselves from the truth. By your Holy Spirit, give us a clear-eyed view of the world. And I pray, O God, that our hearts might be broken by the things that break your heart, by oppression and violence and suffering and need and want. Father, teach us to pray lament, that we might bring our hardest questions to you and call on you to remember, O God, in the full trust and assurance that you will act, that you will work with mighty power, that you have worked with mighty power to redeem this world, to provide the way of hope through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the final victory will be yours. And we pray it with gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.